All right, welcome back. This is Frank Maloney with Jim Hobgood. You're listening to Who's Talking? We're going to take a few minutes to meet with Jason Williford here in just a few minutes, and Jim's going to do the introduction.
Well, what do you expect, Jason? He may be on the phone right now, but as we said earlier, John Marshall, high school product, went to the University of Virginia, played on the 95 team that went to the Great Eight with Junior Burrow, Corey Alexander, our friend Yuri Barnes, and others. So, Jason, a friend of the program, and certainly very excited to have him on Tony Bennett's staff over there in Charlottesville. The basketball practice, I think, officially started on Friday. So they got two or three days under their belt. Of course, a lot of people interested, and we'll be talking to Jason about some of the injury concerns we have at the moment with Jontel Evans not able to play at the moment because of the stress fracture in his foot. And, of course, Malcolm Brogdon, another foot issue that has taken a long time to heal. Now, and I know Jason's not a doctor, but all right, we do have Jason. Jason, we thank you for joining us tonight, taking a few minutes, I guess, after practice.
How you doing?
We're doing well, and we were just talking, and you're probably getting tired of addressing these issues, but bring us up to date on Jontel and Malcolm Brogdon.
Well, Jontel is doing as well as he can. He's still in the boot, but I think we'll have him. We hope we'll have him for the first game. If not, we should have him shortly after that. I don't expect him to miss more than one or two games. And Malcolm is steadily coming along, a pretty serious injury in rehab time that he had, but he's steadily working and not sure of his timetable just yet, but I know he's working hard to get back on the floor this year.
I'll let Frank jump in a minute, but tell us a little bit about the European trip. I know one of the advantages, the extra practice time, but who stood out to you on the trip overseas?
I think Akil actually had a really good trip. He led us in, I think he led us in rebound and maybe even scoring as well, or second in scoring. But he had a really good trip. I thought his confidence was at an all-time high, the highest I've seen here offensively since he's been in the program. And I think the freshman, Mike Tobey.
Yeah, you should know better than that.
I know. After working at BU and American, it slips my mind sometimes.
It messed you up. We'll forgive you.
But Mike was great in a few games over there and found ways to score. And Anderson, Justin, and Nolte were both they shined in a couple games. But we're inexperienced and young at some spots, and obviously with Jontel and Joe, we've got some experience there with those guys.
All right, Jason, this is Frank. Glad you could join us tonight. We love having you on the show. Always have. Justin Anderson, Mike Tobey, Evan Nolte. Three very, very talented players coming into the program. I know you must be excited. Give us a feel for these three guys.
I'm really excited. But at the same time, I've got to temper that a little bit because they're first years. And I know it well, having done it myself, that there can be a lot of ups and downs and highs and lows throughout ACC and playing at this level, especially ACC season. But those guys are going to be very good. And I don't want to put – I don't want the expectations to be too high on them early. Mike's got to get stronger, but he's got a very high skill set. Both he and Nolte, and Anderson's just a physical specimen. He's strong, powerful, very explosive, he's still got to round out his game. But in due time, and hopefully, we see the results of that, towards the middle to end of the season this year and moving forward in the future. But I think we've got to, we've got to just temper our expectations a little bit with those guys. And hopefully, they can just tread water for a while before, and figure out, you know, exactly what's going on out there.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of Wahoo fans. You say Justin Anderson, physical specimen. I've heard him compared to Jason Williford.
You didn't see me at practice today, then.
Oh, okay. Well, let me ask you about two names that the fans probably are going to become familiar with because of the point guard situation, Taylor Barnett and Tevin Jones. Talk to our listeners a little bit about those two young men.
Tevin's he's quick. He's got good athleticism. He's learning. He and Bo Taylor are going to be thrust into the spotlight. With Jontel out, and they're going to have to help us, especially Tevin on the defensive end and taking care of the ball and, you know, running the offense. And then Taylor's going to have to do that, but he's going to have to make some shots. I think he brings a different element with his ability to knock down shots. But again, both first years, and both, you know, we need them to pick up and learn at a high rate, pick up the offense and grasp the defense. And Tevin's got a little more of a head start. He was here, for a semester last year. But they've got their work cut out, and they're working extremely hard. Tevin's, again, a little bit like Jontel, great defensively, can be a ball hawk. And Taylor just brings a little more on the offensive end with his ability to shoot it.
All right, much has been made about the pack line defense. Coach has had some years now to teach everyone the system. And I'm certain for you, you probably know it like backwards and forwards now. Teaching the kids is another thing. You've got November the 9th as the first game on the road at George Mason. Up in Fairfax. But that's tougher than usual first game out of the block, but a good chance to test the defense and test the rookies blending in with the veterans. Talk to us a little bit about what has to happen between now and November 9th.
Well, I think the biggest thing is in the European trip helped. But, you know, just the more that they're on the court, just the speed and the physicality of how they have to react and be continuous, I think that's the biggest thing, you know, making that jump from high school to especially ACC play. And, Mason's going to test us early, but they're all going to be tough games. But I think the first years have to just continue. They have to be continuous and beating screens. And that's the thing. In high school, you can get away with, you know, in Justin's case, just sure, strength and athleticism. In Toby's case, he gets away with being the biggest guy on the floor. Nolte's just a very skilled guy. So they can make one effort, and that's enough. Where I think at this effort, at this level, they have to learn to make multiple efforts and not rest. And that's been the biggest, that's their biggest adjustment. And I think once they grasp that, and then the ability to slide and defend guys at this level, they'll get used to.
You know, Darian Atkins was quoted recently talking about his weightlifting and so forth, and I remember Akil Mitchell talking about the same kind of thing about a year, year and a half ago, increasing their bench strength and all that sort of thing. Isn't that the other side of the coin? I mean, it's one thing to have good feet and good athleticism and speed getting up and down the floor, but getting position around the basket is a whole other game, isn't it?
No question. The strength at this level, absolutely. And then experience. I mean, once you've played in games at this level and you've been in those wars, you know, experience takes over. You know what you can and can't do, and we just don't have a lot of that right now. But, Atkins played some last year, not sure we thought he was going to have to play as much as he did, and he got a lot of play down the stretch, which I think helped him and Akil both. But those guys have to really step up for us. And experience and strength obviously will be a factor in how well and how quick these guys can adjust defensively.
And Jason, I'm sorry, Jason. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, but before we let you go, two guys we haven't mentioned, and I, of course me, I always worry about the offensive side. Joe Harris, he's certainly a guy we're going to count on offensively. But at Media Day, Coach Bennett said Paul Jesperson had a good summer, and he's coming back with a little experience from last year. So I'm sure you expect big things from Paul.
No question. And you guys know we're going to be in every game because of our defense, and I think rightfully so. You know, we've got to figure out how we're going to score. And I think, obviously, we know we can get points from Joe. I do think Paul, you know, his ability to stretch you and shoot it from the outside. And, you know, I think he's had a really good – he had a good summer. And he's once we've gotten back to school here in the fall, he's been very impressive.
Jason, final thought from you. Again, we're in that exciting part of the practice season where you're still feeling out some things, but you're putting in game plans. You're starting to think down the road. What things can Virginia fans look for from this team as fall ball really gets done and then the season begins?
Well, we're going to, you know, our defense is going to be a constant. But I think you're going to see a little different offensive game plan. We're going to be more four out, one in, as opposed to our blocker mover that we use with Mike and Hassan. More three around two. We're going to be more four around one. And just utilize some of the strengths that we have offensively and the skill set that we have offensively. And you know, we're going to have to score offensively more by committee, and more guys are going to have to step up. So, not sure we're going to have a 20-point score, but we're going to have a bunch of guys in those low to mid double digits.
Well, if you really get desperate, you know, Park Hill and Hobgood are still petitioning for that fourth year of eligibility. But, you know, that would be pretty desperate, I must admit. But at any rate, Jason, we appreciate your taking a couple of minutes. We look forward to having you back on several times during the basketball season.
All right. I apologize. I was late. I just ran up from practice. So I appreciate you guys taking me.
No problem. You were quite timely. So Jason Williford, assistant basketball coach at Virginia, joining us. And I think, Frank, we may have Dr. Smith already on the line here. Not that he needs an introduction, but why don't you do so?
Well, quickly put, Dr. Jody Smith is joining us. Ortho Virginia has been an outstanding sponsor of Who's Talking and really with us from the very beginning. And we've got to get to it because of time crunch. Jody, are you there?
I'm here, Frank.
Perfect. You may have heard more this afternoon than I did because I was going to some meetings and so forth, but obviously on Saturday, Billy Shouts did not play, still been on crutches quite a bit, and I'm not sure how much Virginia can expect to have him back at defensive end. Leroy Reynolds played beautifully with a cast on his hand. Made like 12 tackles, I think. Tim Smith did not play. Ankle and Achilles are still bothering him. Clifton Richardson did play and played pretty well, so obviously they're not going to apply for the red shirt. Anything new that you heard?
Morgan Moses was hurt for a brief period of time in the third quarter. He actually cut his mouth pretty bad, and they stitched him up on the sidelines, and he went back in, so that shouldn't be anything significant. Billy Shocks, this is not related to his injury from last year. It's totally different, but it's obviously been a lot worse than they had thought. Again, once again, they're very tight-lipped with the information, but it's a lower leg injury of some sort. And, you know, again, you would have to assume, much like, a receiver, Timmy Smith, that it's got to be a high ankle sprain type injury, and unfortunately they just take a long time to get better. So I'm not sure what to expect of Shots. It wasn't anything that needed an operation, but again, I can't tell you when he's going to come back.
I tell you, when he did play this year, he seemed like a man possessed all over the field. He knocked down a pass against Richmond after really challenging the tight end at the line of scrimmage. And then there was another game, and I forget which one, where, again, he really, really prevented any sweeps or any counterplays to his side of the field and did provide some pass rush. So we need Billy Shouts back, if nothing more than to help teach Eli Harold some of the tricks of the trade, if you will, and to give him a break.
Yeah, Doctor, I'd just jump in. I guess the one thing, they got Wake this week and then an off week. I would think that that off week's probably at a good time of the season, because I would think football, you just have a lot of, you know, dings and stuff like that, where guys that even don't have serious injuries could use a little time to recuperate.
Yeah, I think certainly getting your bye week after the midpoint is a nice thing to get some people healthy. That certainly, you know, you wish your record was better so that it would mean something going into the final stretch. But these little bumps and bruises, yeah, definitely get better with, you know, most of the time they take a week off from any type of hit whatsoever, and they do recover a lot better. The basketball team's almost as banged up as the football team is, unfortunately.
Yeah, talk a little bit about Malcolm Brogdon. Why, you know, why is his injury taking so long to recover from?
I talked about this briefly back in the spring, our last spring show. I said I was concerned because his injury is not one that is a straightforward fracture. He had basically this bone, probably from birth, that never really healed, or his growth plate didn't close. And then it was never a problem. And then all of a sudden, his first freshman year, it became painful. And so the option was to go in and to try to make these two bones heal together. And that's just not something... It didn't happen naturally at the beginning of his life, and so it's not something that's going to happen overnight. And what you have to do is give it a chance to heal. He's out of his boot now. He's walking around without any protection on. But, you know, I mean, I would be surprised if he's ready for the beginning of the season based on the information that I've heard coming out. And you almost wonder if Bub won't be back before he will.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like he's actually healing faster than expected. And so I heard one report that said he might actually be ready for the first game, although that would be, again, a long shot to his. His is a six-week injury.
All right. We have got 30 seconds here. Quickly put, there have been concussions galore in the NFL, and we saw Robert Griffin III recently got concussed on the sideline just a week and a half ago, and then he was back on the field this past week. Any new news or thoughts about concussions?
No, I mean, really, we're much more conservative now, Frank. I mean, basically, you've got to be symptom-free before you can start any type of activity. If your symptoms come back when you start to exercise, you have to stop. And really, it's a weak recovery. So, I mean, I think that if anything at all, if Perry Jones has any symptoms today, he won't play against Wake, and then he'll have the extra off, I guess, the off week to get better further. You hope that doesn't happen, but you don't want to take any chances with somebody's head.
All right, Jody Smith, we thank you as always. Look forward to having you back before long.
All right, y'all have a good night.
Thank you, Jody.
Dr. Jody Smith of Ortho Virginia with our injury report. We're going to take our final break. That's the dial tone, if you didn't recognize that. But we'll be back with Chris Sill, the Olympic report, and final thoughts, next week's guests. And if we have time, break down the ACC schedule this weekend. Stay tuned.